Good morning. You're on the Mike and Abe show. Mike is not here today, but I have on the line Nancy Suri. And Nancy, why don't you tell everybody who you are?
Hi. Good morning, Abe, and all your listeners. Thank you for having me on. My name is Nancy Soria. I am a green taxi or borrow taxi SHO advocate in New York City. I'm also a driver, and I also am the vice president of Green Taxis in New York, Inc.
How many members are in that?
In our association, we have close to about 200 members so far.
Uh-huh.
And we just, last week, about 2 weeks ago, we got approved to open our first green taxi car service in Manhattan. So we officially have green GTNY car service, just servicing all our green taxis in New York.
Now, that would be in the areas that are that the green taxis are allowed to operate in.
Yeah, the base is actually Northern Manhattan at 177 Sherman Avenue, and our offices are there. We also have the office in the back of the association, and we're very excited with this new project, and we're hoping to affiliate more and more green cab drivers with us at a great price.
Uh-huh. Okay, so tell me, before you bought your green taxi, what did you do?
Before I was a green taxi driver, I was a livery driver. Like we all know, at the beginning, it was mostly targeted more towards livery drivers to become a green taxi driver. So this is what I was doing for about 3.5 years before we got the permit and I decided to drive the green taxi.
So I read somewhere that you were the first green taxi.
Oh, wow. And the permit, the 001, actually, it's bought by my husband, but they really look at it as me since I drive it and I'm an advocate, so it probably simulated a lot with me, but honestly, it belongs to my husband. He's the first proud buyer, but we both drive the car.
Uh-huh. Okay, now where do you do most of your work?
Most of my work, we live up in Northern Bronx, close to Kingsbridge. I leave in the morning, drive through Upper Broadway, Riverdale coming down. If I get held in between before I get to Manhattan, I stay in the Bronx. Wherever they hail me that it's my legal area, I'll do the job. Sometimes I could be swinging between the Bronx and Manhattan, Harlem, the north of Manhattan, but that's basically where I'm at. Unless they take me to an outer borough, then I'll stay at an outer borough.
People, I imagine, at times take you into Midtown Manhattan.
Right.
And tell me some of your experiences in Midtown Manhattan with people that don't understand the difference between yellows and greens.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, I've had people try to hail me maybe in the middle of Midtown in a traffic jam on 54 and 3rd, to give you just an example.
Mm-hmm.
I had one lady open the door, and I was like, no, please, I can't pick you up here. And she's looking at me like, why? Like, you know, like really annoyed. She gave me an annoyed look. Why? I'm like, I'm a green cab. I just can't pick you up here. So she just slammed the door, you know. And then random tourists get a little confused sometimes. I guess they just see the markings, and the markings, you know, they say NYC. So the markings, even though we all know the iconic is the yellow, but maybe they think it's another, you know, legal type of cab to pick up, and they don't know. So I just have to shut doors tight and make sure that nobody comes to me. Because sometimes tourists don't really know the lighting system, but they're just looking at the markings on the car.
Well, you have the ability to lock all your doors, right?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. You know, when the green taxis were being argued in Albany, okay, I approached David Yaski, who was up in Albany lobbying for the green taxis to be for the law to be passed. And
yes.
I said to him, David, I said, and I use these exact words, or I'll try to say exactly what I said to him. I said, you've taken taxis, haven't you? And he said, well, I don't take too many taxis. I rarely take taxis. And I said, well, I'm sure you've, on a Saturday night, you know, been in Manhattan, you know, and just needing a taxi. Just about everybody in New York takes taxis at one time or another. I said, how many times have you seen the door open to a taxi, and before the door is closed, somebody else gets in. And he didn't know how to answer that question. Okay, I said, how are you going to keep people from getting into these green taxis in Midtown Manhattan? Now, have you ever had that happen?
You mean like people getting off and other people trying to get on?
In other words, somebody opens the door. You're you're somewhere in Midtown Manhattan where you're not allowed to pick up passengers.
Yeah.
Okay. And somebody opens the door to get out of the cab, and before the door closes, somebody else
is running in.
Right.
Typical sight with the yellow cabs, very typical.
Yeah.
It's happened, and you have to tell them, because since I'm an advocate, advocates have to obey the rules and be the ones who show and give, obviously, you know, the how to teach your members and your, you know, this is wrong, this is right, this is wrong, you know. So you constantly have to be advocating and teaching, you know, your colleagues and your drivers. Listen, guys, there are things that you can't do. That's why we have dual fencing in the lights and the systems, meters turned down when you're in the areas that you're not allowed to pick up. On Halloween night, my husband drove people to the village, and people ran, and a guy actually got in the car. And my husband goes, I cannot. And this was like 14th Street, I think.
Right.
He goes, why? I'm going to report you. He goes, no, I cannot pick you up here. I'm green. Look, my meter is shut off. You know, so the guy was really annoyed. He goes, well, I'm taking a picture of you. I'm reporting you. He goes, well, do what you've got to do, but I cannot pick you up here. So he got off really mad, taking pictures and saying he was going to report him. I told him, don't worry about it. If something was to arise, we know for a fact that the minute he tries to put in that complaint with CLC, they're the ones who should be telling him, well, where was this at? Because green cabs cannot pick you up there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that shouldn't go very far. But, you know, it does happen because people are very confused. Even New Yorkers that are not very, who are not in areas that are serviced by green cabs, maybe like, you know, lower parts of Manhattan where they're typically dealing with a yellow, might even get confused. And I had, like, a couple approach me not too long ago on Columbus Avenue and 83rd, because the thing is that when my passenger does the transaction, my light goes on like for 2-3 seconds, and then it turns off automatically when the GPS reads the geofencing.
Uh-huh.
So that's where the confusion comes. The minute I see that light click, even if it's a 3 seconds, they're running. But then it shuts down, and they're like, okay, did you turn it down on me? Are you refusing me? They have this thing like they think you're refusing them, and I'm like, No. It's just this area right here. I cannot pick you up right here. I apologize. I wish I could. Honestly, AB, sometimes
it hurts when you go to Midtown. I know.
And you see, like, it's raining or whatever it is, and every yellow cab around you is full, and there's tons of people who need service.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, wow, and I can't even service them. And not, I'm not saying it in a way to break rules or to maybe disrespect the yellow cab, but I'm saying it in the way like, wow, you know. But then you see other people doing the most shadiest things, the ones who don't really have the legality to pick up, and they're just wandering all over, and we know what we're talking about.
we're talking about Uber, but before, I mean, we're going to get to Uber, believe me.
Yeah.
You know, you're a good girl, and you're not taking these passengers. You're letting them know that they can't get into your taxi when they're in Midtown. But you must know of other instances where meter or no meter, they let the people in and charge the flat rate.
I've heard cases of some drivers who actually will steep that low to break rules like that. I mean, it's so hard, I mean, to try to control that unless they're called by CLC. They will have their day. Like I tell them, we have a radio show, Abe, like Monday through Friday,
right,
where we're constantly talking to our borough taxi drivers. This is not the right step, guys, and if you do it, I mean, you might get away with it once. You're not going to get away with it twice. I mean, you will eventually get caught. Your fine and your record on CLC will not be nice under your permit. And you're also being watched. And I know that, I mean, in the beginning, I don't know now, I mean, but still, some yellow cab drivers actually watch the activity that green cabs have when they come down here. And, you know, and I'm telling them, you know, it's not worth it to get a fine, to go through all of this for something that you knew all along you're not supposed to do. But it's all part of advocating, trying to teach them what's correct and what's not correct.
Mm-hmm.
There will always be a rotten apple, Abe, no matter how much you try, who will break rules.
Tell me about this radio show.
Well, our radio show is called Progresando with a Boro Taxi, which means Boro Taxi information just for all our green cab drivers.
Yeah.
And we have it on Monday through Friday from 3 to 4 at 94.3 FM. It's broadcast in Spanish. We were hoping maybe sometime in the future, maybe broadcast in English, if we can actually get to have more members to speak English during the association, maybe African or drivers of other countries join us. But mostly all our Boro Taxi drivers right now that are with us, our members and our affiliates that affiliate into the base are all the Latino guys.
Mm-hmm.
And the other ones, most of them are from the first batch of the first permits that came out. Because for some reason now, I mean, the numbers have really slowed down in the sales of the FHLs.
Yeah.
And also a lot of our drivers are not very consistent with keeping them. Some of them want to get rid of a permit for many, many, many reasons.
Yeah.
And so this is basically who we're catering to, these Spanish guys. But we have a big audience in Queens, some other drivers from Ecuador and other countries that are all there. And this is what we basically talk. We talk about all the rules, everything that goes into effect, industry notices with TLC, right and wrongs, you know, while constantly bickering and telling guys, listen, you can't use a Bluetooth. And if you get caught and you get 5 points on your license, then, you know, you look for it. You know you're not supposed to, but then you keep doing it. And then when you get caught, TLC is the worst person in the world. But then again, how do you get these things through drivers' heads? Some of them are very knuckleheads, Abe. They're very hard-headed.
When the law was passed for the green taxis to come into being, it was supposed to be 6,000 taxis or permits issued the first year, 6,000 the second year, and 6,000 the third year. Okay, now, that's 18,000 permits, and I believe now we would be in that third year, right?
Yeah, we should be going into our third year,
So, Where does it stand as far as how many green permits have been issued?
Well, honestly, this is one concern. A lot of drivers are consistently asking this question.
Mm-hmm.
Why? What's going to happen if the second batch is not sold out before the third batch starts? I mean, the first year went really quick.
Mm-hmm.
The second year has been the slowest. I think they're selling at a rate, honestly, of two per week.
Two?
I mean,
They're still selling.
They're still selling, but very slow. And like I'm telling TLC, I mean, it's really slow. It backed up the minute, obviously, Uber came into the market. A lot of the guys who were on a waiting list to buy a permit decided not to go buy the permit and decided to go to Uber.
Right.
Also, the prices were higher, obviously. They're close to $5,000 now compared to the first year
It was $1,500 the first year. Tell me if I'm wrong. It was $1,500 the first year, $3,000 the second year, and $4,500 the third year. Is that correct?
Yeah. $1,500 the first year, but the $540 will bring it to $2,040.
Yeah.
So now, as the number, the price is higher, too, maybe they're looking at that factor. Also, another thing that influenced a lot in stop sale was how the battle in court with the disability advocates and how certain amount of the permits now have to be sold, you know, have to be, you know, wheelchair accessible vehicles. So that's another one that drivers don't want to deal with. They're saying, well, these are heavy vehicles, they use more gas, there's no jobs for it. You know, in the yellow industry, we see in a patron now that, you know, they got laws passed and guys who drive these will actually, you know, will do a little better when they're dispatched to calls. But something has not been set up yet for green cabs. And actually, our fund is much smaller when it comes to the 30 cent improvement surcharge for whatever we, you know, collect.
Uh-huh.
So our fund is so much smaller and it's not getting filled up as quick as obviously as the yellow industry. So we have smaller funds, and the TLC is hoping that when they see bigger money, we can actually sit down with the green industry, green taxi industry, and talk about what we would like to do with that fund and helping drivers who have these big vehicles and what jobs we can get them to, just the way they try to figure out with the yellow. So, I mean, that's what's going on with that.
Well, the yellows are paying 30 cents a trip towards this, and the greens are doing so also. Am I correct?
Yes, we have that law on us, too.
Okay, well, funds have been allocated for the yellows. What you're saying is that no funds have been allocated to the green cabs?
No, not yet. They said that possibly in the future.
Yeah.
They're saying that since it's less of us on the street, it's actually not even 10,000 green cabs on the street,
mm-hmm.
and obviously we're more restricted, so obviously we don't have a big, big area of picking up like yellows obviously have. So we collect less to the fund than actually what yellows actually have contributed. So we have a smaller fund, but they're waiting for it to get bigger so we can sit down and talk. Listen, what can we bring to the table?
Okay. I'm going to say this. It's not going to get bigger until they solve the Uber problem, but I'm saving that, okay?
I know.
All right. But let me just ask you this. 10,000 greens are on the street. 20% are supposed to be accessible. Is that correct?
Yes, they are.
So that means 2,000 of them should be accessible. Are they?
I believe so. I believe maybe we have a little more than that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But you're not getting any help from the TLC or anybody
at
else?
All.
As
far at
as,
all.
As far
I mean, and...
Yeah.
And nothing with the TLC and with the bases. I mean, it's so funny because, like, I always, people ask me what's the difference between yellow and green, and I always tell them that a green is like a hybrid that was born from a yellow in the livery cab because it can become a livery cab when it can pick up calls through a base.
Right.
And what we've seen is that the bases have the permits to have green cabs in their services, but then when they get all these access to ride, they have a lot of vouchers that work with handicapped people and hospital vouchers. They're not giving it to their green cabs. They're giving it just to random livery cabs. So you see the big Lincolns or the little Camrys all struggling to put wheelchairs in their trunks and put the people in the back. But then they won't give these vouchers to people who are green cabs affiliated with these big vehicles that have the capacity to do it. You know what I understand?
Where are these vouchers coming from? Who is
supposedly they, a lot of these bases have contracts with Access to Ride. I don't know how they get it, Abe. I'm not really very focused up on that yet. Maybe I learn as we try to run the base. But they have ways of getting these contracts, and they have them. The bases have them, but they're giving them to their drivers. There's nothing for the guys who are in the base.
I'm very good at cutting people off. Continue.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
What we see is that the guys who deserve to have this because they have the wheelchair-accessible vehicles, they could be, you know, putting people in, just putting them up the ramp, you know, and accommodating them in better circumstances, they're not getting these jobs through the bases. The bases give them to their other cars, you know, their livery cars, not the ones that are SHL.
And every green taxi is supposed to be affiliated with the base, is that correct?
Every green taxi, by rules and regulations, has to be affiliated to a base.
So that means that the accessible green taxis that are affiliated with the base are not getting the accessible calls when they're available and they're being given to other livery taxis that are affiliated with the same base.
Correct. Most of the time. Very rarely. I have a friend who has an accessible, and she's made quite a couple of passengers that are at a nursing home, which is obviously older people, and a lot of them are in wheelchair, and she's made them personal, and they call her personally. So this is how she can make her business and into her area. But otherwise, if you don't try to do it like that as of now, they're not really reaching out to us because I have to say the truth the way it is, Abe. In the beginning, green cabs, when we were starting out, we had a lot of like backup from the bases.
Right.
But now, after they came out, the bases kind of turned their back on us. And we're like the rock in their shoe, like they say in Spanish.
Uh-huh.
They don't really want to deal with green cabs. And that's a whole other story and a lot of things behind that.
Okay. Have you approached the taxi commission with this problem and asked them if they could straighten it out?
Oh, yes. Yes. We've had numerous meetings. And there's going to be some proposed rules later on this month where I believe where they're finding that maybe they want to make bases that have the green permit in their base to become like managing agents, sort of like how the garages do with the yellow cabs.
Yeah.
So those are proposed rules for green cabs. I think if it happens, I mean, it'll be a success, at least for us. We just open a green taxi base, which is all green taxis, and we can kind of maybe come in and try to manage and keep our drivers all together. Because the way it's looking out there with delivery bases, delivery bases have a lot of hostility towards green cabs, and the hostility, it's so bad that sometimes even the people inside the base, the directive administrations, are giving all the wrong info to these green cabs, and they're going through a lot of problems. Like, and that's like, I could tell you, Abe, I could sit with you and tell you so much shady things they've done to some of my drivers, and I've had to come in and try to fix the mashup. So this is why we felt, you know, we need to have our drivers all together somewhere where we can call this their home. They're green drivers. They need to know rules and regulations. They need help. They need. We have a different set of rules sometimes from liveries, and we have a lot of rules that look like yellow, but then again, we're in a mixture of both. And since they have hostility in their bases, we need to have them somewhere where we can help them and figure out these things, you know, and work the right way.
Are all the accessible green taxis being that are out there, that exist, I should say, are they being driven or are drivers shying away from them?
I think I know a couple of guys who are owner drivers who are still driving them, but I see a lot of drivers who don't want to drive those cars. So I see them parked a lot, even sometimes with for rent signs. And I feel they feel like it's not worth it. Like they all say, it is a heavier vehicle. It's economically, you know, with gas, it can take more. Sometimes they're bulky, they're noisy, you know, and if there's no jobs, you know, to with a vehicle like that, they're like, you know, I don't want to drive a car like that. I think the people who are still driving it are owners that are paying, like my friend, she pays for her car monthly to Toyota, so she has a Sienna, so she's not going to give it up, you know, but other drivers are like, you know, I can't do this, so I'm getting rid of this. So it is a little bit of a burden if the city doesn't come up with a good plan for guys who have those wheelchair accessible vehicles.
Okay, let's get to Uber.
Okay. Oh, gosh.
Let me start off by asking you this. What was it like in the beginning, before Uber came on the scene, to work in the Bronx with a green taxi?
Oh, boy. That's a good question. Okay, so we started in 2013. I could say for the first year, we've done really great, very well received. I mean, especially in the auto boroughs, among a lot of areas where we typically wouldn't find some yellow cab service. Obviously, like we know, gentrification moves around a lot in the boroughs. And as it moves around, it brings more people up. And obviously, you do start seeing more yellow cabs running around in areas where sometimes you wouldn't see them. The Bronx, I mean, let's leave Uber for a minute on the side. The Bronx has been a very, very rough borough of all the boroughs to conquer as a green cab. Because the Bronx is dominated by delivery industry. And delivery industry and delivery drivers feel that green cabs came to overthrow their territory, if you know what I mean. They feel like this is theirs. We shouldn't be there. That in the beginning, I mean, we've heard all types of stuff. We've been cursed at. I had colleagues who had bottles of urine thrown at their cars for picking up in the Bronx, which they are allowed to. It's legal. And it's been a lot of hostility and a lot of things. Another thing that didn't contribute was obviously we feel TLC didn't do their job right at promoting the borough taxi that it should have, with people in boroughs like the Bronx who are typically so used to picking up liveries and prearranging prices. This is like a normal thing in the Bronx. Lift up your hand and get a community car service car, a gypsy cab, whatever we can call them. So these cars come in, and TLC has no type of promotion for them. Bloomberg leaves, and Bloomberg was the one who actually made the borough taxi. He's gone. The Blaster comes in. He's showing a little discrepancy against it. So everything changes. We're back in the low, no promotion. Liveries still override, and then liveries also take the challenge of telling people in the Bronx and upper Manhattan, look, don't get on with these guys. I mean, they will say stories like, their fees of those meters charge you double and triple. You shouldn't do them. So as you're putting all these signs and people who are ignorant to a cab, people who probably never even been in the yellow cab can't even understand reasonably what a green cab is. Mm-hmm. So I think it was more accepted by people who understood, who knew what the yellow industry was and were appreciative that they had something like a yellow cab in the Bronx if this was the service they wanted. Now, Uber, from a year, maybe 10 months to the present, I mean, it has taken a big toll on our business, a big toll. As Uber comes in promising, like they've attracted people with these immense propaganda of money, come drive with us, X amount of money in a month, in 6 months, I mean, this is attracting people highly. And it's not only attracting, like in the beginning, professional drivers that left the yellow industry and left the black and delivery industry to go with them. I mean, it attracted a lot of people who are not professional drivers with TOC licenses. So what I see is a big number of Uber cars. I don't know how many you know are out right now. I'm assuming more than 30,000 are Uber.
We don't know the exact number. I think a lot of it is exaggerated, continue.
The last time I heard, about 2 months ago, there were 30,000, and they have 27 bases. They have one luxury limo base and 26 black car bases, which is ridiculous and humongous. With those, going back, with all those promises of all that money, obviously, anybody who's going to come into the industry knew, I mean, would they rather go through all the trouble of trying to drive a yellow cab that you know you have to do the taxi school and exam, or go through the trouble, even became a green cab and maybe spending $4,000 on a green cab and have restrictions and pick up MTA tags? Or is it easier just to go to Uber? And this is what Uber's doing right now. Right now in the Bronx, they have a promotion where they're sitting at a Holiday Inn. A Days Inn in the Bronx, where they're sitting there in a table recruiting more and more drivers. And what they're doing now, Abe, is so easy. I mean, you will go in there and sign up with them. And if you don't have a car, they're like, don't worry, I have a car ready for you in 2 days. You know, and they get you in a car in 2 days for now $350. So when you have this so quick like that, no cap on the FHV or black services in New York, that's why it's grown so humongously like this and is attracting people who are not even professional drivers anymore. And one of the things that is worrying, besides killing the business, because right now, like we're seeing, there's so many drivers in Uber, but realistically, Abe, there's not enough of the pie for everybody to have a piece of it. Uber does not have enough to feed all the 30,000 drivers. So what are they doing? They're doing illegal street hells, Abe.
Uh-huh.
Illegal street hells, not only in Midtown in front of the yellow, they're all over the Bronx, they're all over Harlem, they're all over North Manhattan. They're putting the windows down. If you drive into the Bronx, you'll find 5 livery and maybe 5 Uber-affiliated vehicles at the light with you, all honking the horns and picking up your passengers, which is really hurting the business.
And what has it done to your to the street hails that you would have been picking up in the Bronx? I mean,
it's been really bad. I mean, because first of all, I mean, our concern was that we couldn't service the areas we can because obviously, like the Bronx, it's so dominated by delivery. The delivery industry is big. But then again, now to top it off, it's not even delivery industry anymore. Now we have Uber. And of Uber's 30,000 cars, I could say a good maybe 3,000, 5,000 are doing illegal street house. And they're all going into Uptown. And then we had a couple of weeks ago, one of them actually called the program and actually tell us in our face, well, listen, I work with Uber in the morning, and when everything shuts down at 12 and there's nothing else, I go to Washington Heights in the Bronx and I hustle my cash money. Just like that. So when you have the TOC issuing TOC licenses so fast like there were, you know, to an industry that's never had a cap, because Abe, if you look at it, if the industry would have had a cap, TOC would have had a cap on delivery and the black car industry in the first, you know, in the beginning like they've had on the yellow industry, and how they said, well, it's only going to be 18,000 permits, and that's it. that's the state rule. I mean, why never put a cap on these people? They wouldn't have grown so much. What I feel is doing a rundown on everything and analyzing it. I've been studying Uber for a couple of months, and I knew I was seeing what was happening, where they were going. To me, the city let them in because of the technology. Unfortunately, technology was kind of what won over people.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that now, it's when the yellow industry and delivery, even the bases, have these ads and are trying to fight against Uber because everybody needs to survive and needs to protect their interests. But I feel technology was really what called people to go with them. But I feel like in the long run, even the people are going to see and they're going to open their eyes and they're going to say, you know something? Uber charge pricing. Uber sucks, excuse my language. Or on a rainy day, how are you going to charge me $45 for 10 blocks when I can probably do it under $15 in a yellow cab? So I feel like little by little, people will come back. It's going to take a while, I think, for people to open their eyes, Dave. But I feel like if TLC doesn't step in, but one thing that's bothering is that sometimes it's not even TLC, it's city council. And by what I hear of, city council has more mandate in TLC than Mira Joshi herself. So, I mean, she can want something, but city council can override it. So, I mean, it's just so shady how I hear the other day, city council members in a meeting on TV saying how they're putting a stop on Airbnb because they don't want to follow rules and they're a billionaire company that's going to hurt the people in New York. But then you can't put a stop on Uber, who's a shady company worth billions of dollars and wants to break all the rules and regulations in New York City. But then again, you want to advocate for the people of New York City, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because supposedly when our drivers have a complaint against them, what does TLC do? That's another one. The first thing is, too, they point the fingers at the driver. The driver is always guilty, but he never has a right to a verdict because he's always guilty. It's always the passenger who has the right, you know? So I'm telling them, and I told them a couple of days ago, TLC, one of the people at Beaver, I told them, you guys are so much in support of how we're supposed to give good service. We're professional. Great with that. We want to give professional service. This is our job, I think. But you guys are not taking into pretext that Uber's bringing on a whole bunch of unprofessional drivers who don't even know what Vision Zero is, who don't know the rules of the road. I've seen them in the Bronx. I hate to sound like this.
Yeah.
Getting off the cars with the most unprofessional attire, hoodies covering their heads, dark tinted windows, $3,000 insurance a year, black car insurance fund, picking up all over the street, breaking all the rules, and nobody does nothing. And you guys want these guys to give service to the people in New York?
Have you spoke to any of these Uber drivers in the Bronx?
I've spoken to one a couple of days ago. I had a conversation with him at a gas station, and he admitted. He admitted that he's hardly not working with Uber at all. And I said, why? I said, I didn't want to sound harsh on him. I didn't want to sound like I was trying to get info out of him. I said, why? I said, Uber promises a lot of money. You've got a good-looking car. He goes, no, it's that I can't wait for a whole week to get paid. And I'm like, but you know something, honey. I mean, I know, don't take it personally because I'm green, but do you know the danger you're facing if you are caught in an accident with a street hail and you are covered, you have an Uber-affiliated vehicle,
mm-hmm.
and your Uber-affiliated vehicle is covered under the Black Cars Fund. I mean, do you have any idea of what's going to happen with you? And he looks at me like, well, I really haven't thought about it. I said, well, you should think about it. I said, because all black car services in New York are covered by the Black Cars Fund versus delivery and the SHLs that are covered by the livery based fund. I'm not saying that liveries have a total right. If they're caught in an accident with a street hail, they can have problems. But then again, the Black Car Fund, it's half of what we pay in delivery base fund, Abe, and it's strictly because you pay $3,500 a year, but you're supposed to be the Black Car Fund. You're supposed to be dispatch, you know, door-to-door, more like elegant, you're waiting, you don't even have to have the camera, you don't have to have a security light, you know, none of that. No lights on display, because you're supposed to be sitting down waiting for your passengers. So these guys are doing the illegal street hails, and you're wondering if they caught in an accident with something that's not on record with Uber, and Uber goes, wait a minute, but there's no app dispatch for you here. I mean, you did an illegal street hail. the black car fund is going to turn around and say, well, listen, you know something? I cannot cover your passenger because you did an illegal street hail. So what happens to the passengers then? And this is a lot of concerns that I've been bringing up to TLC, and we've been reporting it and telling them, look, this is so shady, what's going on? Because all of a sudden, Abe, you know what your new modality is now? The new modality is for livery drivers is don't do livery funds anymore. Change your insurance to the black car fund because you're only going to pay $3,000 a year, and you can hustle here, you can hustle there, you can pick up calls, or you can street hail. You don't have to pick up MTA tax. You don't have to do anything, and you're good to go. So what about the guys who are green? Let's leave the yellow on the side.
Yeah.
A whole different industry. What about the green guys? We pay $6,000 a year. We pick up MTA tax. We're trying to do everything legal. You know, we have regulations. You can't pick up here. You can go to an airport, but you got to swing right out, and you got to drive on 94th Street, and hopefully you pick up somebody. You know, but then these guys are hustling and bustling everywhere for much less of insurance, no coverage, no camera, no decals, tinted windows, you can't look inside, and you know who the hell these guys are. So this is a lot of things that are happening that are very, very wrong, Abe.
The Uber cars in the Bronx, okay, do they all have, are they all registered with the TLC?
Yes, honey. All Uber cars are registered since they have the black car services that they bought 26 of them. All those cars are registered under either Shemekin, Drive, Drain, Wider, Uber. They have tons of names. They're all German names. Whenever you see them, they're all affiliated with Uber, and they're all black cars. How can you tell a black car from a livery cab, also from the traditional gypsy livery cab service in the auto boroughs? They don't need to use the security light in the back. They don't need the emergency light.
Oh.
They don't need the security camera in the front.
Uh-huh.
And they don't need to have their licenses on display because obviously they're supposed to be working on the more elegant type of thing. They're not supposed to be hustling on the street. So this is how you can tell, but just by looking at the stickers that most of the livery and the black cars have on the side doors, that shows what base the car is affiliated with. You already know they're affiliated to the Uber, and you see them picking up on the street like nothing.
When the green cabs came into being, thing that the TLC was saying at the time was, we're going to get all of the cars that are illegally picking up in the boroughs off the street so that the green cabs can do their business. But obviously,
mm-hmm.
none of that really happened.
Nothing happened. Nothing's happening. Yeah. This is the feeling I get every day from drivers. I have drivers call me every day desperate. I had a driver 2 days ago go off and off on how he's going to get rid of the permit. You know, he goes, this is like not making sense. I mean, they promised you a million things to buy the permit. They said, look, guys, we know you do illegal street hails. The numbers show it. The tickets show it. The illegal activity on 149 in Grand Concourse, 30 pickups an hour. It's a true reality. Why? Because we know yellow cabs are not there. So why not do this legally? But you have to do it like this. Okay, so we're good. Let's do our pickups legally in our areas that we tend to take care of. Let's do it legally. We're good with all of that. What we feel right now is that TLC has shut the doors and given their back at what they promised. And if you have these cars out here, some of them bought cars. Some of them took a little bit of life savings or even got loans to buy a permit
mm-hmm.
to get a car. You know, for them to say, we're going to protect this little investment you did, of course, it's not a million or thousands of dollars like in a yellow medallion, but it's something to start with, and it's something like a dream. Like when you or anybody, you know, bought a yellow medallion many years ago, you know, and you want to be legal. You want to do it right. So now we feel with the industry Uber doing whatever they want, they rock and roll over the street. Nobody sees nothing. TSC is not out there. And then we don't have enough TLC agents because this is what we're telling them. They said they just graduated, like, I don't know how many more enforcement agents in December. But where are they? I mean, they lost control of this. And this is already a mayhem out here, Abe. It's a complete mayhem. Traffic is at its worst. And another study around there from an independent group did show that 24,000 Uber-affiliated cars between 3 and 12 o'clock in the evening do idle below 59th Street every single day just waiting for that search price to pop up. So so they can go pick up. You know, and the city's seeing all these things, and it's like everybody's closed, and we feel like we're falling, and we're trying to survive in the water, like we're drowning, and nobody's helping us. You know, the yellow industry is much bigger. It's been around for generations.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are more fluent, more money. They got more power. They can try to help themselves get up and survive. They have this great new promotions in the back of the buses that congratulate
right.
them, where it says,
right.
you know, dry yellow, make green.
Right.
But we have none of that. We don't. The only thing we have right now is our power to talk. Otherwise, me, Nancy Sorby, I have no money. I don't have money to do a promotion and put it at MTA. So come join the green cab. So write on them, you know. So it's hard for us, but you know, just advocating and trying to show the city, you know, this is wrong. What else can we do? I mean, we're planning. Maybe we can get together with a business center to the yellow industry and do a big protest and do something, you know, because this is so out of control. And my worry is that the guys are just going to let go of the permits, and nothing is stopping it. I mean, they just feel like it's not making sense if Tom, Dick, and Harry and everybody else picks up on the street like nothing. Don't have to pick up MTA. Don't have restrictions. Pick up downtown through a call. Pick up uptown through street health. I mean, nobody does nothing. It's like, so why should I invest $4,000, $5,000 in a green cap permit when I can do the same freaking thing without all that trouble and with all that investment? And TLC is not doing nothing.
All right, so look, the bottom line here is the TLC sold the green people a bill of goods.
Yeah.
Okay, a bill of no goods, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and the only solution to this problem is that they enforce the rules.
Yeah.
Okay, and get all of these Uber cars to stop picking up street hails, okay? Which is what you bought. You bought the right
mm-hmm.
to these street hails, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you don't see that happening, right? Now, let me ask you
at
this.
At all.
Let me ask you
yeah.
this. You see the ads on the back of the buses that say, drive yellow, make green.
Yes.
Does it tempt you?
It's amazing. Well, I'm actually thinking about doing the universal license.
Yeah.
I actually qualify to do
yeah.
all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to leave my green cap, but
I
just
know.
In case I would like to be standing, maybe for a weekend or something, if things don't get any better.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know something, Abe? I mean, my green cabs, I mean, are in my heart. I advocated so strongly for them. I supported for them, and I supported them fully, not thinking about money or nobody gave me money, no lobbying, nobody bought me. They're in my heart, and they were my dream. And now it feels like your dream is falling, and you want to lift it up again. I still have my hopes high that rules can come into effect, that somebody will open their eyes and say, look, Uber's breaking all the rules of the road in New York City. Who's doing anything? Like, there's not enough of the pie to go around in New York City for everybody because
mm-hmm.
everybody wants tree hell on the street
mm-hmm.
and there's not even, like, enough space for everybody anymore. And the ones who can do it are seriously hurt and our income is seriously has gone down a lot. So this is what I'm telling TLC. If you don't do nothing, don't expect to sell the next batch of the green caps because you're not. Because the guys are looking at it like, why should I invest and buy this if you guys are not even protecting the investment of the guys who already have it?
Have you ever thought to yourself, maybe I should turn my green permit in?
No, it's my husband, and my
yeah.
husband's been having second thoughts,
yeah.
but I'm holding on to it. Abe, this one, it's the first one.
Yeah.
It's the one that broke, you know, all the record. It was like
yeah.
the baby, you know, and I have so many high hopes, and I'm still going to keep fighting Abe as much as I can
yeah.
to see if we can make this better and show them that we have to get a voice together and show them that they have to respect what they promised us. They have to keep their word because it feels like we've been really backstabbed. And compared to you guys that you've been around for a long time, we're just like babies here. We haven't made our 3 years yet.
Uh-huh.
And we should be able to try to, you know, have higher expectations and try to fulfill our needs and be able to roam all over the Bronx and not be turned down or maybe just have these million tons of livery and black cars behind you honking and honking to take your passengers, you know?
Mm. The people, when they see your green car and they see an Uber car or another livery car, do they tend to come to the green car?
Look, I see them a little better now in the Bronx.
Yeah.
Some of them are getting on. But I've seen a lot of times when you're driving, you see them with their hands out, you're ready to get on the right,
right.
Or you're on the right, ready to stop for them.
Right.
And the minute you get close to them, they put their hands in. They don't want you. They want to go with the livery cab.
Because they can negotiate the fare rather than go by.
Yeah,
hand.
Yeah. And some of them, more than they're negotiating, they're under the impression, they never even tried it, that they're more expensive because this is what they sold them.
Have you pulled up to any of these passengers and tried to talk to them?
Oh, yes, I talk to them and I tell them, too. Even the people who get on with me, like in Harlem and stuff, other people who do predominantly yellow cabs, I tell them, you know, this is what Uber is, you know, don't street hail them, you know. If you want a car service to service, you have to write, call a car service, get prearranged, don't do street hails, you know, and stuff like that. And I try to teach them, you know, what that Uber is doing very, very wrong, Abe, and they're shady. I mean, my top thing is for people to open eyes and see that they're not what they say they are. They don't care, AB. They don't care about the consumer, and they don't care about the driver. What they want to care about monopolizing and taking all New York for them and just get by with the professional drivers that we're here for. They want to monopolize all New York City and turn into all black car service thing. That's what they want.
Are you aware of any altercations between green drivers and the Uber and other livery drivers?
Altercations between what, livery drivers and Uber?
Well, between livery drivers and the green drivers.
In other words,
fighting over, you know, physically fighting over a fare.
Yes, I had somebody tell me a case with it. A colleague of mine had to stop the car and get involved because a livery driver wasn't letting a green cab driver pick up a passenger. And he was really mad. He stopped the car and, like, cursed them out and told them, you know, they were about to go at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what's going on, Abe. I mean, our problems are very complex. They're very big. And when you look at it through rules and regulations and insurance and everything, they're dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on here? I think TLC has lost control. If TLC doesn't do something, I don't know what's happening to the city, because Uber's doing this in a lot of cities. A lot of cities are going through it.
Do you know of other livery drivers that are going to green now? I'm sorry, other livery or green drivers that are going to yellow now, now that they have the universal license?
Not really. Actually, I was talking about the rules in the show last week.
Yeah.
When a guy doesn't know that they're eligible, they can actually do this. I haven't heard many of showing interest. But I'll be at the show later, so I'm going to talk about these rules again and teach them that this would be a great option for the future, just in case any would like to drive yellow in the future, anything, they're ready. No, not many of them actually know about it. I mean, I'm trying to, you know, teach them in the show about these new rules.
Okay. I think we've covered everything. Is there anything else you want to tell everybody?
Well, Abe, I mean, I appreciate you giving me all this time. I just want everybody to know that we have to unite. And if the city doesn't stick their backs up for us for something they promised, we drastically have to take some type of measure. Either we have to strike, we have to paralyze what Brooklyn Bridge, do something really crazy, because they have to take us into account. And if they want to keep collecting 80 cents from each ride that these cars bring them, they really want to sell the next batch of the green permits, like they told me.
Yeah.
They have to get they have to get full force and get these enforcement agents here, in that, like, once, like, every 3 weeks, like they do. I mean, they're going to the Bronx, like, 3 days in a row, like, every 4 weeks, Abe. It's not like that. It's not happening like that. If they're not out there every single day enforcing and showing that they really mean it, that this is not the way to play, we're going to advocate for rules. I really want to bring a proposition that rules, that street hails are going to be higher the first time they get them, black cars too. Black cars should start at $1,500 the first street help so they can learn. Because there is no way you're going to be in a black car paying $3,000 a year. I pay $6,000 and you don't do anything. You don't pick up MPA for the city. You don't do any regulation, nothing. All over, up and down like nothing. And you're hurting my business. And when you're downtown, you're probably hurting the yellow too. It's not like that. So we have to advocate and we got to get strong, Abe. And I hope we can keep talking and maybe we can get maybe some industry leaders from the yellow industry and see what we can plan.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take this a little interview that we did. Okay. And I'm going to put it on nyctaxinews.com and I'm going to headline it on the front page so that people will listen. Okay. And, I wish you the best of luck, okay?
Thank you, Abe.
Because, you know, the yellow industry is fighting back, and we've made some headway, okay? But basically what everybody needs is for the TLC to do the right thing.
And do the right thing. You said it. I appreciate you giving me time to explain everything that's going on.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate you coming on the show and expressing yourself and I'm proud to give you an opportunity to speak. Okay, and to
Thank you, Abe. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Okay. Because you know, in the beginning the yellows were fighting the greens, the idea that others should be able to get into the exclusive rights that the yellows had, but the bottom line here is we have the same problems now. Okay.
Thank you so much, A, for listening. Yeah. Thank you for giving me the opportunity, and thank you for all your listeners.
Okay. So go back to work, make some money. Hopefully.
I'm gonna cry.
Hopefully, you'll be able to pay your bills. All right. I hope you know, because that's important. That you got to put food on the table and pay all your bills. Okay. And stay healthy.
Thank you so much, Dave.
Stay healthy because that's more important than anything else. Okay.
That's right, Abe. Thank you so much. Okay. Thanks for the opportunity, and we keep in touch.
All right, you keep in touch with me, and let me know how you're making out, okay?
Okay, great. All right. Thanks, Abe. Have a great day.
Okay, same to you. Bye.
Okay, bye.